Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. Rod Hampton, your host, with more inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. It started by handing out leftover bread. Hear how that ministry is now feeding 500 families each week.
I'm John Graham, and today on The Culture Connection, how a pastor with gay parents learned to love others without sacrificing conviction. Caleb Kaltenbach, author of Messy Grace, joins us.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we'll talk with a missionary who shares how the church can and should be using social media to reach people for Christ.
I'm Myrna Brown. Nicole Nordeman is back after a 10-year hiatus. Why she left and all about her new project.
Also today, we go to Columbus, Ohio for our missionary moment. That's this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. The Real Life Center in Tyrone, Georgia is a combination of churches and organizations coming together to help their community, especially during the holiday season. We get the story from Juliana Smoke now on Life with Purpose Radio.
Real Life Center began almost 20 years ago by a group of Christians at Dogwood Baptist Church in Peachtree City, Georgia. They wanted to help those in need by giving out leftover bread. Over the years, the ministry has grown to an orchard and vegetable garden, producing 15,000 pounds of fresh produce and helping people find long-term change. Kathy Bergeron is the executive director for Real Life Center, and she joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
15,000 pounds of fresh produce is an incredible amount of food.
It is, but, you know, it's so much more than food. It's such a gift of hope when someone cares enough to offer something fresh, which is very expensive to buy. So we have the Orchard Project. It's a 3-acre orchard, and it's manned totally by volunteers.
Wow. Wow. And how do you pull off not only handing out that amount of food, but also growing that amount of food?
Well, I'll tell you, when you divide it into bite-sized pieces, so it's not too much work for one person, it's really just a great picture of the body of Christ working together for a purpose. And we're able to hand the food out through our main center, which is our outreach ministry of the church, where we have a food pantry and a weekly bread and vegetable program and ways that we are investing in people.
Mm-hmm. And this ministry is not a quick fix, but the hope is for there to be a long-term change.
Absolutely. You know, I've worked in a lot of places over the years where we really could meet an immediate need, but that same need often could reoccur. So our purpose is not really to just put a Band-Aid on, but how can we peel back the layers and really, truly help make a difference?
Mm-hmm. And I can see that you're just investing in their lives. And I'm sure by doing so, that opens doors to share Jesus.
Absolutely. You know, one of the most important things for people to know is that we're a safe place to come to and that we have their best interest in mind. And as we develop that trust and that relationship, it really does open the door, not to force anything, but just for them to see who we are and then to be able to have those conversations.
That's right. That's right. Well, with the Thanksgiving and Christmas season right around the corner, I'm sure you have big plans for the holidays.
Well, we do, as always. You know, it's such a great time for most of us. And for others who are really struggling with job loss or maybe they've lost a loved one, whatever it may be, sometimes the holidays really just seem to bring them down. So one of our programs is to try to make sure that people have a Thanksgiving meal. And if they can't prepare it, then we have some folks that will deliver. And then we also work with some of our partnering churches to help provide a meal.
Mm-hmm. And this all began by just being obedient when the Lord prompted to hand out leftover bread.
Well, that's right. You know, when we started, we had no idea how much we would grow. Last year, we had over 5,000 family visits through our center, and we served another 2,000 through our mobile food pantry. But, you know, I think it is a real testimony of saying, here I am, God, send me. And we did. We started by picking up bread. We delivered it to people we knew that might need it. Eventually, we start saying, it's too much for us to deliver. We're going to have it available at the church, and people would start picking up bread. And from that, we started recognizing needs and saying, all right, God has opened the door for us to make a difference. But we started small. as I know we have listeners that are maybe thinking about starting something or maybe they've already started, it does take work. But at the same time, when you are obedient and you allow God to work, it all falls together. And I would love to just encourage them in their journey that it really can happen. And, you know, if you touch the life of one, you've made a difference in a huge way.
Now you are helping other churches begin ministries like this. How can someone get more information about Real Life Center?
Well, beginning next year, we're starting to launch some seminars to teach and train our model and allow others to be able to adapt it to what works for them, just the lessons we've learned over the years. If someone is listening today and is interested in either starting or being a part of what we'll be doing kicking off in the spring for the seminars, they can reach us through the website, which is reallifecenter.org.
We've been speaking with Kathy Bergeron, Executive Director for Real Life Center. Kathy, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today and sharing your heart and how the Lord is using you and everyone else there in a mighty way.
Well, thank you.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
We found it while we were dating.
I found it after the death of my daughter.
I found it working my way to the top.
Find hope today at findithere.com. A message from Southern Baptists.
Thanks for being a friend and listening each week to Life with Purpose Radio. Can you love without sacrificing your faith convictions? Well, that's what the author of the new book, Messy Grace, confronts with John Graham on today's Culture Connection.
The Supreme Court's recent decision regarding same-sex marriage has caused Christians to ask a lot of new questions. One such tension is that between showing Christ-like love without compromising conviction. Caleb Kaltenbach has written a new book called Messy Grace, and as we're about to find out, he is uniquely qualified to help us with these answers. Caleb, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
It is a privilege to have you. Now tell us your story.
Both my parents were professors. When I was two, they divorced, and both of them came out of the closet. My mother, she was very loud and proud. My mom was an activist, joined the board of directors for GLAAD for the Kansas City area. I remember at one Pride parade, there were people holding up signs saying, "God hates you, no room." And if that wasn't offensive enough, somebody screamed in the crowd that they were spraying urine all over them, as well as water. And I looked at my mom, I said, "Why are they acting like this?" And she said, "Well, Caleb, they're Christians, and Christians don't like gay people." And I'm just like, well, I definitely don't want to be one of those. By the time I got to high school, I joined this Bible study to learn how to disprove the Bible. I decided to be a pretend ninja Christian. You know, I ended up learning that Jesus was different. As Paul says in Romans 2:4, it's God's kindness that leads to repentance. And so I thought to myself, wow, if God's kindness leads to repentance, how much more should our kindness lead to repentance? I mean, that goes along with what Jesus said in Matthew 5. And so I gave my life to Christ, got baptized, and I gave my life to the ministry. And I kind of made the decision that I still hold today. God designed sexual intimacy to be expressed between one man and one woman in the context of marriage. And man, when I made that decision, I told my parents, they disowned me for a while.
Wow.
I mean, the rejection they feared from the people on the street corners, they gave right back to me. And went to go preach in Dallas, Texas. And when I went there, both my parents moved there separately of one another. They started attending the church that I was preaching at. And 2 weeks before we left to move back here to Pastor Discovery Church in Simi Valley, California, both my parents gave their lives to the Lord. This is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Caleb, I don't even know where to start unpacking that story. But the purpose of your book is to help believers that don't have that context to understand how they can reach a homosexual community. Give us some help here. Where do you start?
Well, I think we need to start by listening. We need to be intentional about what we say. But we also need to step outside of our own context and put ourselves in the person's shoes. I mean, isn't that what a missionary does when they go overseas, right? And so I remember a conversation I had with my mother before she became a believer. And she said, "You know, Caleb, the last several years of my relationship with Vera, we weren't sexually intimate." I said, "Mom, why do you still call yourself a lesbian?" And she said, "Well, that's my community. Those are my friends. I have relationships there. I'm accepted. I'm part of a cause and a movement." And I said, "Well, you just described the church." It really dawned on me that this is an identity issue. what the average Christian will do when they have somebody who's gay in front of them or is a friend or that kind of thing, they'll just throw the Leviticus and the Romans and the 1 Corinthians passages at them to say, hey, homosexuality is wrong and you need to repent. Well, I believe in the inspiration, the inerrancy of all those passages, and I agree with them. But here's what I also think. I think that if same-sex intimacy is one of the ways that people identify as LGBT nowadays, and maybe the bigger way is through their experiences and relationships and upbringings, and maybe we should help them to learn to identify Christ, first and foremost, as their main identity. And as he starts to impact the different domains of their life, I believe that God gives margin for us to have difficult conversations about holy living, difficult conversations in the midst of trust and relationship. There's a difference between acceptance and approval. Mm. I mean, dude, I preach to thousands of people every Sunday, and I can guarantee you, people I shake hands with, they're going to be with me in heaven. And they did things that week I would not approve of, right? I mean, you yeah. and I do that, right?
Sure, right.
But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we stop anybody from walking through those doors, because we want them to hear the gospel. Mm-hmm. There's a line where we have to say, listen, I understand you're on this theological page and you do not see this as a sin, but you got to understand that we do. We do need to have these tough conversations, but man, they'll go further if we have influence and relationship.
There is so much to unpack in this book called Messy Grace. And it's a messy subject. There's no doubt about it. It's a tough thing to work through. But I would say that this book is a handbook for our times, and I'm so grateful you wrote it, Caleb.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
How can folks get a hold of the book?
Amazon and Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, you know.
Pretty much anywhere you can get a book, you can get this one, apparently.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Until next time, this is John Graham, bringing you The Culture Connection.
Each week on Life with Purpose Radio, we present weekly stories of people living their lives with purpose and caring Christians around the world. And we hope that our stories encourage you to live your life with purpose. If you would take just a moment and connect with us, you can send us email, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. Again, that's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And you can encourage us by sending us your comments, questions, and story suggestions. Or you can go online, facebook.com/LWP Radio, or you can follow us on Twitter @LWP Radio. Hey, our free book offer is still available for you. It's The Coffee Shop That Changed the Church. From best-selling author Steve Farr, it's yours absolutely free. Just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook and get your free copy today. Okay, let's get back to this week's stories. Myrna?
Thanks, Rod. Nicole Nordeman is back after a 10-year hiatus. Why she left and all about her new project.
Thanks, Myrna. Also yet to come is the church planting climate in Columbus, Ohio on our Missionary Moment. But before all of that, Ron Lawson is standing by in the Life with Purpose Radio studio with a story, Reaching People Online.
Social media today is like learning a new language. Facebook, Twitter, websites. It's the language of the next generation. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a missionary who encourages churches to learn the language of social media to reach people with the good news of Christ. Let's listen.
I'm so happy to have in the studio with me today Scott Smith, who serves as a Georgia Baptist State missionary, leading with our evangelism team, and knows a whole lot about using the web and social media to reach people for Jesus Christ. Scott, thank you for being with us here on Life with Purpose Radio.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Scott, you've been involved in helping churches use web and social media for many years. Would you tell us your perspective on the opportunities that exist for churches to communicate through these means and also the importance of doing so?
Well, we're living in an unprecedented day, Dr. White. As you know, the world's gone digital. We are literally, as a culture, walking around with the internet in our pocket, always connected. So now a lot of the barriers that we used to face just don't exist. The guy in China is just as close to me as the guy down the street. And literally every believer can have, for all practical purposes, a worldwide gospel messaging platform personally, right from their own smartphone. So it's an amazing day. The importance of it is the fact that the generation that we're losing is the generation that is online the most. As a matter of fact, a lot of talk in our building now about reaching millennials. That's a big challenge. And it's disconcerting that in 2013, across the entire Southern Baptist Convention, Only 56 churches in the convention reported 50 or more youth baptisms. Only 51 churches reported 50 or more young adult baptisms. To put it in another frame, 82% of reporting churches reported two or less youth baptisms across the entire SBC.
Wow.
89.2% of reporting churches reported two or less young adult baptisms. But interestingly enough, when we think about reaching millennials, 84% of millennials are social media users. And when you look at the average Facebook user, 3 out of 4 of those are millennials. But it's not just a millennial phenomenon. The fastest growing age group on Facebook right now is 55-year-old females and older are the fastest growing segment. Across the board, we see that basically that's where everybody is. So the ability to reach them very inexpensively, instantaneously with the gospel and building relationships, we've never seen anything like it before. So the generation we're losing is the generation we can reach. And if you can crack the millennial nut, I believe you can reach just about anybody online.
Absolutely so. It's an amazing age in which we're living, Scott.
It is.
Great opportunities for sharing the gospel worldwide instantaneously, as you said. I think many pastors and church leaders don't really understand this new media communication phenomenon that we're dealing with, Facebook, Twitter, apps for phones, tablets, websites, Instagram. Many feel intimidated on how to use these kinds of communication. What encouragement or advice would you offer to them that might be helpful?
Well, I would just say learn Facebook. Really, out of all the social media platforms that exist, Facebook is still the behemoth, and that's where everybody is. Realize that that is the pool that we begin to dip our toe in, and just master that. You'll find that it's very intuitive. I know you're intimidated, possibly, if you're listening to this by social media, but if you'll spend a little time with it like anything else, just like the copier in your office or the new car that you buy in the dashboard, if you play with it, fiddle with it enough, you'll learn how to use it. And you'll learn that you're engaging an audience that's far more open to the gospel than you realize. Matter of fact, I'd like to share a statistic with you that's very encouraging, and that is 73% of millennials say that they will click on or investigate opinions that they see in their social media feeds that are different than their own. And 70% of baby boomers are saying the same thing. So we're seeing that there are a lot of people who are open to other ideas and conversations around beliefs that they don't already hold on Facebook. So realize you're going into an interface that is intuitive, it's user-friendly, and it allows for conversations, relationship building, and messaging. That is, sharing your thoughts, opinions, and, of course, for the purpose of the gospel itself. So don't be afraid of it. Just make use of it, and you'll get to know it.
Maybe you know a situation where a church or a church leader does an unusually effective job of communicating through this form of media. Could you share an example with us?
Well, there are multitudes of examples. I think the churches you'll find actually that are doing well are those that are consistent with it and use it to promote on-campus events. We had Centennial Baptist Church in Rutledge, Georgia, did a fantastic job of combining social media and direct mail to promote Easter, and they saw 84 first-time visitors in their church on Easter from that promotion.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
Could you point us to some resources that might be helpful for churches that would like to get involved in social media?
One of the things I've put together is a Facebook plan for churches that's very simple. It's a PDF download any church can implement. A lot of times we get questions, what do we do? What do we post? How do we engage? So if you'll go to evangelismga.com/Facebook, that download is available. But it's a step-by-step blueprint on what a church can do on Facebook to make the most of that medium. Otherwise, go to YouTube if you want to know how to create a Facebook page. YouTube's a great source for learning how to do things online. There's a lot of tutorial videos that are free there. And of course, if you want to do something where you can sit down once a week and schedule out some posts, not the interaction part, but just posting things, we always recommend Hootsuite, HOOTSUITE.com. It's free, and you can sit down and schedule out a week's worth of posts in about 15 or 20 minutes. We recommend those three resources.
That's outstanding. Thank you so much, Scott. I've been talking with Scott Smith, state missionary with the Georgia Baptist Convention, who helps our churches and our associations develop communications through social media. Thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
It's been my pleasure, Dr. White. Thank you.
For more information on social media for the church, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Nicole Nordeman is one of Christian music's best-known female artists. Life with Purpose Radio's Myrna Brown caught up with her to get an update on her music and ministry after a 10-year break from recording. Singing, holy.
In 2003, Nicole Nordman won 4 Dove Awards, all for that song. She recorded her last album in 2005. Today, Nicole Nordman is back with her first project in 10 years. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you so much, Myrna. Great to be with you.
Take us back to 2005, and I know you get this question all the time. You're probably tired of talking about it, but
no.
About that decision to walk away.
You know, it was a hard decision and an easy decision at the same time. I had been struggling for a while with just finding healthy balance, work and life and family balance, and I knew that there were certainly ways to make a life as a Christian artist work with a family as well. And I was tired of not being a great and present mom because I was putting too many eggs in the artist basket, and I was tired of not being a wonderful artist because I was putting all my eggs in the family basket, and it just felt like something had to give. And I felt like the Lord asked me just to step away from public ministry for a while and stay home and raise those babies, because those were moments I was not going to get back. That's kind of where we are present day.
You had how many kids and how old were they?
At the time, I just had my son, Charlie, and he was, I think, about 3. He's 12 now, and my daughter is 6.
And as you look back, any regrets?
Not any regrets. You know, God was so good to me to give me opportunities creatively while I was at home. So I wasn't getting on a plane, and I wasn't jetting around the country on a tour bus anymore, but he was bringing me projects, songwriting projects in particular, that I could work at and still be using my gifts, but also serving my family the way I wanted to. And so I got to write a book during that time. I worked on a couple projects, doing a lot of songwriting for other artists. So it still fed me. I just didn't have to be the main attraction, I guess.
Yeah. So you were still creating. You were still serving.
I'm really, looking back, so grateful that God just was so generous to give me those opportunities, because I do love music. I can't imagine a life without music, and I needed it in my life.
This is where the walls gave way. This is demolition day.
And we can't imagine, you know, not ever hearing that voice. Again. Well, the new project is The Unmaking. And tell us a little bit about that title, The Unmaking.
A lot of times there are things in our lives that God longs to resurrect in our lives, that he longs to make new. But before he can do that, some older things have to die. And looking at my own life, you know, there were some really broken things. I was ending a very painful 10-year marriage after about 9.5 years of it being on life support. And I felt the Lord just put his arms around me and say, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to sit in this rubble for a little while. I will sit here with you. Let's just mourn the loss of something that had to come down, and trust me that I will speak to your heart in ways that I couldn't if you will stay open and vulnerable and just allow yourself to go through the grieving and healing process and not rush through it.
Tell us about some of the cuts on this new project.
A lot of these songs are about hope, and they are about restoration and redemption. And I think, having been through such a difficult time that felt awfully dark in my life, it felt really beautiful to write about the hopeful things of God and the plans that he has for me. So I'm able to sing songs like Name, which is about just remembering who you are in Christ. Just to be reminded that God says, no, I changed your name when you became mine, and I still remember your name even if you don't. So that's an important song for me on the record. Of course, probably the most special song to me is a song I wrote for my children called Slow Down, which is pretty self-explanatory. They're growing up too fast.
Slow down, won't you stay here a minute more? I know you wanna walk through the door.
I got to ask you this one last question. It's part of a kind of a story, too. So I'm in my office, and my coworker and my friend comes by, and she says, Myrna, you got to hear this. You just have to hear this.
Every evening sky, an invitation to trace the pattern stars. And early in July, a celebration for freedom that is ours. And I notice you in children's games, in those.
And we sit there, both of us, and in the workplace, and we're just quiet. And you know, it's what a metaphor for life.
I have been so moved over the years of hearing people's stories about what that song has meant to them, and the memorial services that it's been sung in, and the weddings and the graduations, regardless of how the seasons change in our lives, that God's presence and sovereignty does not. That's a huge thing for a lot of people to embrace.
Just thank you for taking time to be with us here on Life with Purpose Radio. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much. I've so enjoyed our conversation.
And don't go away again.
I will. You're stuck with me for a while, I'm afraid.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
And sending us inside.
Today's missionary moment takes us to Columbus, Ohio, here on Life with Purpose Radio.
We should care about cities like Columbus, because the Lord Jesus Christ cares about cities.
Certainly we would say, think of Columbus.
Because I think in a lot of conversations, a city like Columbus may be overlooked.
There are so few workers here.
So one of the realities for us was that there are foreign countries that are in better shape.
As we're holding up the gospel week after week after week, that becomes tiring.
We need help.
Planting a church is a slow process, especially in a place of great need.
It just means that we have to think, focus, and be very intentional about developing relationships with lost people.
There are so many college students. What we can do is connect with the students who come to our American universities to learn.
And they will go back to countries that we can't send missionaries to. They'll go places that we can't go. I love the pockets of ethnicity that exists. The differences and the nuances are all a part of what make Columbus great. And that diversity needs to be reflected in our church planting ministries and efforts. We can't do what we dream to do in Columbus without partners.
The reality that there are people who may not know me at all who are praying, that's a big deal.
What partners do is they come along and they hold your arms up and they help you fight.
They can come and help in the summer. They can bring teams. They, of course, can support financially. They support with prayer.
I think we have to hope that every single person in Columbus comes to know and love Jesus.
The city sees the difference that can be made by people who believe the gospel and who have a love relationship with God.
For more information about North American and international missionaries, just head to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope today's stories have inspired you to live life with purpose. As you heard about, Real Life Center, the book Messy Grace, Social Media Evangelism, Nicole Norneman, and church planting in Columbus, Ohio. See you next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose, and check out lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.